The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The only thing maybe quite as contentious is what's happening in Limerick with this international rugby experience. I was absolutely engrossed on with a Twitter thread earlier on posted by Seamus Ryan, who is a local man in Limerick who's a keen interest in this and monitored very closely a council meeting last night. It took place at 4 o'clock. It went on for several hours, wherein discussions were had. The mayor was there, the CEO of the council, various councillors, about what to do with the international rugby experience and whether the council should take over the running of it. Seamus is with me now. Seamus, thank you very much for the entertainment, first of all, following the thread. I don't know how long it took you, several hours certainly. For people who are listening and they're kind of only vaguely aware of the background of this, tell us the international rugby experience. What is it? Who is behind it? And what's the problem it's after running into?
Okay, so hi, Kieran. So I suppose some of your listeners will be aware, but the basic background is that in May 2023, the International Rugby Experience was opened in Limerick with a galaxy of stars and a €30 million investment from the JP McManus Foundation. It's on Limerick's main street, O'Connell Street, and they demolished a few buildings to put it in. So it's extremely noticeable. It's extremely big, and it's a landmark building. Essentially it's an interactive rugby experience. I suppose they put it into word. It's a rugby team show in the middle of Limerick.
Okay.
And in October 2023, last year, the JP McManus Foundation opened negotiations with Limerick Council to transfer it to the city. And they made that announcement in April of this year that they'd hand over the building. That they'd pumped €30 million into, and they'd give €1.2 million in cash just to cover some operating costs for a few years. There were two big conditions with that. First, the attraction had to be kept open for 3 years, and the council was never allowed to sell the building.
Okay.
And there was a lot of fanfare in Limerick when it opened, and there was a lot of, an outbreak of appreciation, I suppose, when it was announced to be handed over to the city. So in June, John Moran became Limerick's first elected mayor, and he asked for a report about whether the whole thing was viable.
And what did that report tell us? Because I understand kind of there was an initial report presented to councillors maybe last week, and then there was an updated report yesterday, but kind of broad brushstrokes. How much is the whole thing going to cost Limerick City if they were to take over the running of it?
I should be, I'm laughing into my sleeve here. Essentially, I suppose the basic figures, at the moment, it's projected to lose about €600,000 this year.
Okay.
And with zero intervention, it's just going to keep losing that money. So you can multiply that by a number of years. There's a slight complication here because the International Rugby we just call it the Rugby Museum down here.
Okay,
so
the Rugby Museum
was opened as a charity. So because it was opened as a charity, they didn't have to pay a VAT on the building. So if the city takes it over, they'll have to pay a stamp duty. That's going to be €500,000. And if they convert it to regular civic use, and that's part of the plan, it'll cost an extra €2 million. Now, you add the operating losses to that over the next 2 years, and the building, which is currently valued at about €5 million, the costs and the expenses will probably be greater than the value of the building.
Okay. Which is it kind of madness? So this is where I really found the post online that you had put up fascinating. So €30 million was invested by the JP McManus Foundation. It's now kind of worth about €5 million, according to this report. If transferred, yep, they would have to maintain ownership of it. So they can't just flog it themselves and make some money back. They've got to do something with it.
Yes.
They've got to pay stamp duty on it, on the value of the transfer, a couple of €100,000 at least there. They've got to pay VAT. The government will kind of claw back the VAT if they change the use away kind of from a charitable. How an international rugby experience is a charity anyway, that's kind of maybe a separate issue. But they would have to pay a couple of million quid in VAT there. And then there's the ongoing running cost. It is losing money all the time. And am I right in thinking from your post online that even if it was operating at maximum capacity, it would be losing money? Because the figure that we reported on last week when we talked about it was it needed 80,000 people through the doors every year to break even. And it can only maintain about 60,000. Is that right?
Yeah, you've identified the. I think that's the kernel of the kernel of the problem there, and this is precisely in line with what the consultant said in the report. Because it's an interactive experience. There is a limit. You can't just pump people through the building in a queue. So currently, the way the building is set up, they won't have more than 60,000 visitors a year if they hit peak capacity. At the moment, they're running at 30,000, and to break even, they'll need visitor numbers of 80,000 a year. So, I mean, if you want to put your cynical hat on, and as a journalist, I'm sure you have one, this is a facility that can never make money in its current configuration.
So, I mean, if this were happening anywhere else in Ireland, Seamus, again, with my cynical hat on, I might suggest that the local council, the local authority, would take one look at it and turn around to the person offering the enterprise that was going to cost the council money. Exactly how much money in the long run, we can't say, but it would certainly cost them money, and that they would have to take money from somewhere else in their budget to pay for it, that they would turn around and say, you're all right, you can keep it. But the sense I got from that meeting last night, from your coverage of the meeting, is the fact that it's JP who's making the offer complicates things in Limerick.
It does, very much so. Look, I mean, some of your listeners will be in Limerick and will be around, and you've seen, I mean, JP has done an awful lot for the city and the county over the years, and that's a fact, full stop. And the man is venerated, genuinely. I mean, he's made big donations over the years to community centres, like local representative groups, people in need, and he does an annual scholarship for people to go to college and stay in school. So repeatedly, councillor after councillor, plus the mayor, plus the council director general, insisted so hard that they didn't want to embarrass JP by refusing this gift that he was operating that he was offering. And look, I'm sitting there as a resident of Limerick for 30 years, and I've seen over the past 10 years, I've watched maybe 100 of these council meetings. I cannot stress enough that I have other hobbies. But as somebody with a big interest in local, in my city and local politics, which, you know, kind of obviously affects the city I'm living in, there's very little. I mean, the local media are great down here and they do their best. But me sitting there as a person with nothing to gain and nothing to lose, I can probably be a lot more blunt than they can be at times.
Yeah.
It was fawning. And I can't describe it in any other way. Kieran O'Hanlon, as it happens, he's a former mayor, likened JP to Santa Claus and said that he didn't want to offend Santa Claus. People were lining up to say that they didn't want to embarrass the man by refusing the gift. Even though, as I've said and you've identified, it'll almost certainly cost more to accept it than the amount is worth. It's a massive complication, yeah, to be perfectly honest.
It is. It's absolutely remarkable that they find themselves in this position. And look, to kind of reiterate the point again, and you've made it well, but, you know, I can't see this happening in any other local authority. And you're right. Look, JP McManus has done wonders for so many people down there. And look, I'm a member of the GAA and my local hurling at Kabokie
Perfect
club.
Example.
So we have all over the country benefited from JP's largesse. So like, we can acknowledge that. At the same time, the idea that a local authority would look at its spending on housing, on health, on local infrastructure, on public parks and amenities, on playgrounds, on roads, and think, let's cut some of that because we don't want to embarrass JP McManus. It's kind of mental.
Oh, it is, totally. I mean, all the plans that suggest the council subsidising the venue, basically, they set up some of the tourist attractions are run by a company owned by the council. They've set that up in the past 2 years. But the plan is to subsidise it from the tourist company and directly from the council's reserves. So there's no question that if the council chooses to accept this and cover the losses, that it will come out of housing or parks or roads or something. And in my head, the weird thing is maybe one councillor stood up yesterday and said, hang on, this is weird. This is odd. Should we really do this? And look, I know the mayor is and has been running through the figures. I mean, he's the one who originally asked for the report that the council has agreed to commission. But there are very few people in that chamber that are willing to even question this in any way. They just want somehow. Now, they haven't specified where they'd like the money to come from. And I think that's a real burning question that needs to be asked.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, most local authorities, Limerick is, I mean, they run a balanced budget every year, but, you know, things fall apart and things aren't maintained and all that.
There's always money needed for projects. And you're quite right. I think that's the question that anybody suggesting they should take this over should be asked, is where does the money come from? What service are you cutting to pay for the international rugby experience? Listen, if people want to kind of hear in more detail, granular detail, the discussion last night, I got absolutely engrossed in it, lost in it. Seamus Ryan, you'll find him on Twitter, or X as it's called. You'll find all the detail there. Seamus, listen, thanks a million for taking the time and effort last night, for so many hours, and for talking to us today on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.